Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Welcome to Next Fan Up, the show for the fans, by the fans. I'm the Houston Texans Superfan James, and I'm going to be your host for this evening. Joining me tonight is the Panthers Superfan Jimmy. How are you doing tonight, Jimmy?
Hey, what's going on? How's everybody doing 1 week out from the Super Bowl?
Yeah, how did you spend your Pro Bowl weekend knowing that you still had a meaningful game of football to play?
I saw a couple pictures on Twitter about how empty the stadium was, so I thought that was pretty funny, but I did not tune in, and I'm currently watching the Grease 5 thing on Fox TV right now.
Excellent. Also joining us is our Giants superfan, Sam. How are you doing today, Sam?
Wondering what next season will bring us, but looking forward to seeing the Broncos win next week.
Well, speaking of that, tonight we're going to be kicking off our coverage for Super Bowl week, and this is going to be a show highlighting some of the prop bets as well as just gambling in general, so let's get started with that. So what most people are probably aware of is stuff like, you know, the spread, over-under. So for this game right now, it's showing that Denver's a six-point favorite. Jimmy, I'm sure that sits pretty well with you, kind of make Carolina a prohibitive favorite. But, you know, what's your pick as far as the spread goes? Sam, why don't you jump in as well?
Sitting at 6 points, I'll take Denver in the bet. I think it's going to be a close game. I think a lot of people are thinking the same way, especially how Carolina's blown out their last two teams in the playoffs. But I think a lot of people are thinking it's going to be a defensive game. I think if I'm a betting man, I would bet Denver plus six, but I'm obviously taking Carolina in the game straight up. But I think it's the more the line increases scares me. But I hope it drops. The more increases, I just feel a little bit more scared.
What about you, Sam?
I honestly think Denver also covers. I think they have a really good chance of winning. I actually like the money line of plus 180 for this game. But they keep games close. I mean, I think the majority of their games this season were under 7 points in either direction. So I think I'm pretty confident taking Denver against the spread.
Man, I was hoping for a little bit of disagreement because I'm also going to take the 6 points in Denver. The one stat that kind of scared me on this, six of the past eight Super Bowls have been decided by 6 points or less. The two that weren't, Peyton Manning was the starting quarterback for the losing team on both. Obviously, when he lost the one in Indianapolis to the New Orleans Saints, and then a couple years ago when they just got blown out by the Seahawks. The next thing that everybody's usually referencing on television is the over-under. So this is just going to be the total points scored by both teams, and it's currently sitting at 45.5. Sam, do you like a higher scoring game or higher total than that, or the under?
I like the way under. In fact, I'm seeing a bet now, a prop bet, that an adjusted over-under of 37.5, and with great odds for the under, and I think that's going to hit also. I think the way I do these bets is I try to find a narrative for the game and bet along that. And the score I'm going with into the Super Bowl with is 2017 Denver. So that under 37.5 with 2.5 to 1 odds seems really juicy to me.
Yes, that is definitely a great point about going about these prop bets. Just basically, you know, figuring out how you think the game flow is going to go and bet accordingly. Jimmy, what do you think on the over-under of 45.5? Is there another number out there that you like a little bit better?
I think 45.5 is a good line. I think they got it right, but I'm taking the over. And the reason why I'm taking the over, I think Carolina scores points. I'm not sure if they score points at will, but I think they have no problem scoring points. And as the game progresses, I think both iron out, and I could see a little bit of a shootout coming down in the third, fourth quarter, just time points getting on the board. I expect the first half to be a bit slow scoring, maybe a 10-7 7.5 at the score, but I'm going to take the over here. I'm not confident in it, but I'm guessing the score of the game would be 31-28 in that range. I'm taking the over. In the fourth quarter, especially, but especially the second half in general.
Taking the over, expecting a huge game, 31-28. Not to spoil your pick for later in the week, I'm going to take the under as well. And it's kind of similar to what Sam is thinking. I'm thinking there's going to be a closer game, more of a defensive struggle. But that 45.5 is just high enough where if Carolina does turn this into a blowout, they can still make it a 35-10 game and handle that under pretty well. I'm not a huge fan, typically, of betting the under. It kind of makes for a less exciting game. You never want to be the guy there screaming for fewer touchdowns and fewer points on the board. But I think that might be the safer bet this time out. Now, Sam has mentioned a couple prop bets that he's seen as well. Sam, other than that alternate spread of under 37.5, what's another prop bet you like here in this game?
I really like playing with the prop bets of how much the teams are doing by the win margin. It's kind of like picking against the spread, except if you hit it with the right odds, you end up making a little bit of money. I was actually speaking to my rabbi this week, and he loves the Panthers winning by 14 or 15, and that's sitting at plus 550 right now. And I still like Broncos by 1 to 6 points, which is a 4-to-1 odds bet. And I think both of those, I think it's going to be either or, because I think the Panthers win, they blow the Broncos out, but the only way the Broncos are going to win is if they keep it close. So, you know, if you feel like me, that seems a much better bet than, you know, picking just the spread or the money line, because you do get the better odds in those.
Yeah, and that's one thing you can't necessarily be scared of. Like you mentioned there, you know, if you bet both Carolina by, you know, more than 14 and Denver, you know, by winning by 1-6, obviously one of those bets is going to lose. But like you said, you're getting good enough odds on your money, you know, 4-to-1, 5.5-to-1, where you can basically take that loss on the first bet and still come out money ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And I always love the who's going to be the first player to score in the game. Who's on the Steelers a bunch of years back where he was like a 25-to-1 odds and ended up scoring. But I think in this game it's going to be Greg Olsen. I think he's sitting at like plus 140, and I think that's a pretty decent chance to be right.
Yes. It's funny you bring up the first to score a touchdown. I saw Cam at plus 700 and Jonathan Stewart at plus 800. And on top of that, getting into a parlay here. So basically on the parlay where you're combining two bets and you need both outcomes to hit, you can have Carolina scoring the first touchdown at minus 150, and you can parlay that with, you know, either Cam or Jonathan Stewart in my case, or in your case, Greg Olsen. And so you can get a little bit extra on your payout. So if I'm going to pick both Cam Stewart and Jonathan Stewart, or Cam Newton and Jonathan Stewart, I'm going to parlay each of them at the minus 150. So my Cam bet, instead of paying off 7-to-1, is going to pay off about 12.5-to-1 if he gets the first touchdown. And Jonathan Stewart's going to pay off about 14-to-1 if he gets the first touchdown. So, Jimmy, you must like how we're picking Carolina Panthers to score the first touchdown. Who do you think is going to score the first touchdown, or do you think it's going to be a Denver one?
I'd like to say Carolina scores the first touchdown. I think I'm going to say a field goal will be the first score of the game, but as far as first touchdown, I'm going to bet on Carolina because I trust their offense better more than Denver's. I think Greg Olsen, if I had to bet on one Carolina player, I'm betting on Greg Olsen to score that touchdown. But even I was thinking about the matchups. If they're going to be matching one of the linebackers or trying to spy and eliminate Greg Olsen, and then if you put what's it, not Anquan Bolden, who's the cornerback for Denver? His name is escaping.
Akeem Talib.
Yeah, you take Talib and put him on. If you put him on Ginn, is he fast enough to keep up with Ginn? But Talib will eliminate one of the receivers, but I don't know. Maybe sneaky Mike Tolbert screen touchdown. I don't know. If I had a bet to count on a touchdown player to score, I'd have to go Greg Olsen. I think that's a safe bet.
Perfect. And, yeah, if you want to bet on that first score being a field goal or basically not a touchdown, you can get a nice plus 115 payout on that too. So, Jimmy, what's a prop bet that you kind of want to talk about here that you like?
I've always been a fan of keeping our traditional spread bets, but I like taking where they break it down in halves or quarters. So I'm looking at total team points in the first half. And for the Carolina Panthers, they have listed total team points for – I'm sorry, this is for the entire game. Total team points for Carolina Panthers at 24.5. I'll take the over on that for the total team points in the game. And then for the first half, for the score for Carolina, they have 12.5. And I'd probably take the under for the first half, kind of like what I was saying earlier. And then switching to Denver, your Denver's total team points for the entire game is at 20. I'd probably take the over on that. And then for their first half points for Denver is at 10 even. That one I don't know what to do. That number 10 scares me. I think that might be a push. But I've always favored because you can kind of play by quarter or by half, playing the spread on each game, each team, as well as the total game spread. I've always been a fan of those. And then kind of like what he had mentioned in the pre-warm-up, what we're talking about with this podcast, is the amount of penalties in the game. I'll let you cover that. But those different prop bets I find very fun and entertaining. But the coin toss bets, who will win the coin toss, will it be heads or tails? That's you're shooting a dart in a dark alley. It's hard. That's 50-50. I've always thought the Gatorade prop bets, what color the Gatorade of the winning team will be, I always thought that is just kind of interesting just because it is what it is. But that's impossible to tell. There's no strategy. It's all pure luck.
Yeah, and I mean that's a great point. Now, with Vegas, the way the prop bets have to work, it has to be determined on the field of play. So, like last year, Al Michaels made a big a deal of how many times Deflategate's going to be mentioned. So, if you're in a Vegas sports book, you can't bet something like that. You know, there are ones online. Most of the odds that we're pulling from here are from Bovada, and that is, you know, which coach gets mentioned first, Ron Rivera. Will they talk about how Gary Kubiak was a backup to John Elway in Denver? So there's some fun ones in there. And then for the non-sports fan, they also have what's the first song Coldplay is going to play at the halftime show? Do you guys have any strong thoughts on that one? I think they're going to come out with Clocks.
Oh, Clocks is a good one. Outside Chance of Beautiful Day. Or is that not even them? That's not even them, I don't think.
That would be you too. I will take Not a Beautiful Day to be.
No. I guess now that I'm looking at their actual songs, I think maybe A Sky Full of Stars. That's a song I've heard of before. But is anybody excited about Coldplay playing in the Super Bowl?
Not at all. And what pisses me off is Carolina makes it to Super Bowl in 2003 and Janet Jackson and her halftime fiasco stole the whole thunder of the game, and now Carolina gets back to Super Bowl and Coldplay is the halftime. We can't get any luck. I'm not excited about Coldplay. It might be a chance to just refill on a drink and maybe play a quick game of cards or something.
Well, I mean, if it makes the halftime show a little bit better for you, Beyonce is also going to be performing with Coldplay.
Interesting.
True. Hopefully Missy Elliott shows up again.
What do you guys think of the bet, Kevin Durant points -6.5 to Peyton Manning completions in those cross-sport prop bets?
Repeat the bet one more time.
Kevin Durant -6.5 against Peyton Manning completions.
Ooh.
On that one, I think I'm going to have to take the Kevin Durant points. And it has nothing to do with, how Peyton Manning has played recently. I mean, I think the Carolina defense is going to be able to limit him. I think it's in Denver's best interest to get their running game going and not lean as heavily on Peyton Manning. And, Kevin Durant, contract year this year, I believe. So he's playing to – I mean, he's going to be a max player no matter what, but I think he's got the motivation to go out there and outdo Peyton Manning's completions.
Do you know what game they are using to for Kevin Durant's prop bet? What game they're using it?
I think he's playing on – I mean, it would have to be the game they're playing on Sunday. Let me take a look on that. But another bet that I like betting because, it used to get better odds on it, but now you can't anymore, is taking the quarterback of whoever you think is going to win to be the MVP. This year, Cam Newton is you have to pay a little more to make back your money. But Luke Kuechly is sitting at, I thought, plus 2,000, which kind of seemed crazy to me because there's a decent chance he picks Peyton Manning off two or three times and returns one to the house. And he's going to be the MVP. I don't know what do you think about that, Jimmy?
Yeah, that's a sneaky, sneaky good bet. I like that because I definitely think Peyton just picked off three times in that region. If you non-quarterback, I mean, it's such a quarterback-driven league. It's hard not to give one of the quarterbacks to everyone. But, yeah, if Luke returns one to the house for the third game in a row, I'm for a sentimental pick, I'd love to see Thomas Davis somehow get it after breaking his arm, but that's not likely. But, yeah, that's a sneaky pick for Luke. I like that.
Thomas Davis I don't think Thomas Davis is even on the list right now, interestingly enough.
They won't put him back up there. I don't think they're going to put him up there until he's definitely in for the game. I mean, currently the over-under on screws in his arm is at 11.5 based on his tweet about his injury earlier. But, yeah, that MVP, especially with Luke Kuechly, if you can find individual player props, like there's one for Luke Kuechly getting a pick six, again, I love doing like that with a parlay with the MVP. Just because for him to actually win the MVP, Cam can have a very pedestrian performance, but since he's the quarterback, he'd be more likely to get the MVP votes. It's going to take something like a Luke Kuechly pick six, and as well as a subpar performance from Cam for him to win it. So I'm looking at 10-1 for him to get a pick six, and then plus 2,000. I mean, you could put a $20 bet on a parlay for both those things happening, and more than pay for your trip to the sports book.
Yeah. I mean, Eli, back when he won the MVP the first time, he didn't play a good game. If no defensive player really makes a difference, they're not going to win it. They have to either score or Bobby Wagner, or what was his name, on Seattle, who won it. He had a big interception. I mean, he just had a big game. So it's really, if you're betting on a defensive player, you're banking on them making a scoring play in some fashion.
Yeah. Well, looking through here, another, just to go along with the narrative of the game, there's a couple bets out there that I really like. The under 14.5 for the largest lead by either team. That speaks both to how well both of these defenses are playing and then just how poorly the Denver offense is. I'm also betting on a lead change being in the second half. If you're expecting a close game, chances are you're probably going to have a lead change in the second half. Plus, I can't say that I'm betting on that just because I kind of want it to happen just to make sure that the game is a lot more entertaining.
Yeah. Jimmy, have you noticed how scorekeepers are scoring or I guess attributing sacks for people playing against Cam Newton? I'm talking about like when he runs. Do you see teams getting less sacks than you think, or are they? Because a lot of those, like Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, each have over unders a half a sack. So I'm curious if it's because sportsbooks thinks that Cam Newton runs a lot and is ruled a runner a lot of times, so they just end up being tackles for losses.
No, Now you say that. But I have not paid attention to how they've ruled the sacks. Is the greater runner, if it's tackle versus sack. That's a good point. You said they're both listed at half a sack over under.
Yeah, I mean the odds are better. I think it's I have it right here. Let me pull it up. It's -225 if you're taking the over for DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller actually, and +185 if you're taking the under. But it seems like they're gonna get one. I would have to imagine.
Yeah, I think I saw that somewhere over the week that Denver and Carolina have two of the best rated offensive lines.
I forget what they were rating him on, but it just caught me off guard when I heard Carolina in that conversation. But yeah, I'm definitely taking Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware to get a sack each. Definitely. I think they're going to be bringing the house ready to get Cam. And Cam has made some incredible plays, but at the same time, he's made some stupid plays where he thinks he can find a way and weasel his way out. But he's taken a lot of 10-yard lost back, like where he thinks he can scramble out. And would not surprise me if that happened once or twice this game where he thinks he can get out and Von Miller's right there on him and backs him for 10 yards. So I definitely think each of them get a sack.
Yeah, total QB sacks for the game, the over-under I'm seeing is 5.5, which seems incredibly low for Peyton Manning and Cam Newton. Seems like that could be broken in like the first half, first quarter, maybe even the first half. I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the 5.5, you definitely got to go to over just because you look at Peyton Manning and any little bit of pressure and he just goes down on his own, which it's, you know, prolonged his career to this point and prolonged the career of other quarterbacks. So it's, I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah. Are there any other bets you guys are excited about? A lot of these exotic prop bets are pretty crazy. How many times will Cam Newton do the open shirt Superman motion during the game? The over-under is 2.5. How many times will dab or dabbing be said by the announcers during the broadcast is at 2? Both of these seem like it should be over also. Cam loves doing the Superman.
Yeah, especially on the big screen. He's going to try to do as much as he can. A couple prop bets that I always find intriguing, and I just saw them on Bovada's site now, but it kind of reminds me of the ESPN Streak for the Cash prop bets that they put up occasionally. But, like for instance, will there be a score in the first 6 minutes and 30 seconds of the game or the first quarter? And they have different time bets with 3 minutes left in the second quarter type stuff. I always find it interesting, like, because I kind of hit those props on ESPN Street for the Cash, as they do it a lot when, like, March Madness will 10 points be scored in the second half or 10 free throws or something. But I think those are pretty fun to do if you're just looking for some more exotic prop bets.
Yeah. I think these defenses and, I guess, Denver's kind of slow moving. I don't see a I would take those things not happening, as unfun as that is. I just think that probably a score happens closer to the end of the first quarter. I think the Denver offense will only be able to score when they get a shorter field, being helped by their defense. I just can't see Peyton Manning throwing those, you know, short routes and having Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis just tackle them over and over again, resulting in a scoring drive. That's just me. I mean, that's good news for Jimmy, but I think Carolina's defense kind of plays into stopping Denver's offense in terms of a longer field.
Yeah, and going off on that, not sure if I mentioned this, but I really like the total field goals made at, and you could pick, you know, they have it for over 2.5, over 3.5, over 4.5, so on and so forth. The one that I like, though, it's even money, and it's over 3.5. I think I think there's going to be a lot of stalled drives, and you've got lots of great props around the field goals. They have, you know, longest field goal over 44.5, you know, shortest field goal, under 27.5. So there's a lot of good field goal related props. And then the other one that I'm putting on my sheet just because I want to see it happen, not necessarily because I think it will, is at 3-2 or +150, a 2-point conversion is attempted. I think you've got Riverboat Ron. You know, the NFL made a big deal about how they wanted the extra point to mean something. You saw it last week with Gaskowski missing his first ever extra point. And I want that extra point moved back to where it was. And I think the easiest way to kill the experimental extra point rule is if somebody missed one in the Super Bowl, causing a bunch of 2-point conversion attempts.
Yeah, I mean, but isn't that the point? Isn't it that they want to make it more impactful? It's the NFL's ridiculous. Jimmy, who do you think when the Panthers score a TD, is the ball given to a boy or a girl? They even have odds on that these days.
On a boy or girl?
Yeah, boy is -200, so I guess there's some real precedence there.
I would bet on a boy just because I'd expect. More, I believe football, I'm just guessing it, but I say more boys are into football than girls are, so I'd bet on a boy being a Super Bowl, but that's a crazy bet.
Yeah, there's like really, if you want to find any bet out there, there is somebody that will take it, is what I've learned looking at the props for this game.
Do you guys remember, because I remember after looking at all the different prophets, but do you remember when the Seahawks and Broncos in the Super Bowl, the first score of the game was that safety, and I just remember someone put the bet on, there's a prop bet for what will the first scoring play of the game be, and all the different types of scores, and I remember someone decent amount of money on the Seahawks safety being the first score, and I just remember flying all of Twitter, seeing his ticket. I can't remember how much he won, but he won a good amount because that's the most least likely score to happen. But that's another interesting one to look at.
And that was, wasn't that and there was the Patriots also a couple of years before that. Also, the first score of that game against the Giants was a safety. So it's happened. It's happened fairly often in the recent past, at least.
Yeah, safety has actually been recorded in the Super Bowl 3 of the past 4 years, and twice it was the first score, you know, like both of you mentioned. And, you know, because of that, you know, just will there be a safety in the game is at, you know, 6-1 odds. And so, you know, when the Giants did it or even when it happened in the Seahawks game, people were getting much, much better odds on that because, you know, nobody had ever seen it before. Typically, if you're betting on something that nobody's ever seen before, it's going to get you some really good odds. If it hits, you know, great. They currently have a prop bet, will regulation end in a tie? And, you know, you can get, I lost that one there. I mean, you can get, you know, 150-1 on the Super Bowl end of fourth quarter score being tied just because it's, you know, never happened before. So people aren't going to bet that, or if they are going to bet it, they're going to need really long odds for them to be convinced to buy in on it.
Has there been a Super Bowl go into overtime? I don't remember one. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to say no.
That's crazy. If you really like think about how like 50 NFL games, chances, or at least one of them, would go to overtime.
Yeah, well, man, plunk down your $10 on those long odds, and you know maybe this will be the year. It's just like Powerball; somebody's got to win it.
And if anybody's listening and puts down that bet, and they would like to send me something if it happens, hit me up on Twitter. I'll be glad to take my royalties.
There you go. Now we've covered mostly just prop bets on this. I know, you know, everybody watches the Super Bowl. A lot of people do like squares pools. Are there any other games that you guys like to do, whether it be at your Super Bowl party or in the office, that have to deal with, you know, gambling on this particular game?
I do like boxes. The Super Bowl party I was at last year involved a lot of people selling their boxes as the quarters were ending, which ended up being a lot of fun because I remember Seattle was driving down, and it was the last box of the game, and it was something like a couple thousand dollars, and somebody just made an offer at right before they were about to score. So the person who ended up having the winning boxes right before the interception was like, I'll buy it off you for $100. And the person sold it because he thought the Seahawks would for sure score, and that interception happened, and he just lost $2,000 or $3,000. So that was an awesome moment.
Jimmy, how about you?
Yeah, I actually run where I work. I run where school there. We're doing $5 a square. That's always fun. And then not cash gambling, but as we watch the game, me and a bunch of buddies, we always make a drinking game with the Super Bowl 2 weeks ago when Carolina played Seattle. We did a drinking game for that. We had stuff like if John Fox, we had a rule in there, if John Fox's name was mentioned, to take a shot or something along those lines. And John Fox's name was actually mentioned one time during that game. Like, I could not believe it. But we'll design something along those lines as well for the Super Bowl. And then for your halftime party of your break, I don't know if you've ever played a game called Left Right Center. You can get it at like your local little game puzzle stores at the mall. But you get 10, 12 people playing that, and each person starts with $3, three singles. It's pretty self-explanatory. You roll the dice, you get left, right, center, and depending on which of the dice show up, you pass through $3 in that direction, and eventually everyone's money will end up in the center, and whoever has the last dollar wins. So if you have 10, 12 people, it's a fun little thing to do during halftime, and you earn maybe 50, 60 bucks. But that's a fun little game to do while you're waiting for the game to start back up.
That sounds like a fun game. I always liked drinking games, depending on what the announcer said. I think those are always fun. And with Phil Sims, he says the same things over and over again, so be careful because you'll be drinking a lot if you decide to play. Yeah. If everybody decides to take a shot every time talked about is said, there'll be a lot of stomachs being pumped Sunday night.
You might make it just about to kick off.
Yeah, and if you want to take a shot every time Nance or Sims praises Peyton Manning for audibling into a handoff, you will also probably be in the hospital by the end of the night.
Yeah, that was the one thing I'm disappointed. I can't find a prop for on number of times Omaha is said. I remember that one being from the Seattle Denver one a couple years ago. I can't find it now.
Oh yeah. Does he still say Omaha? Like, do they still catch him saying it?
Oh yeah, they still catch him. It's a lot less frequently, but then again, every single play was the previous standard, so he was guaranteed to go a little bit under on that.
Yeah.
Two of the things that I typically do at the not just the Super Bowl parties, but the like if we get together for a regular season game, you can go online and somebody will put out a sheet of like, you know, 30 or 40 props. Print that out, print like 10 of them out, 20 of them out, pass them out to everybody at the Super Bowl party, have everybody kick in $5. Whoever gets the most right at the end, you know, they get the pot. That's always fun because they'll have some oddball ones on there, like over under on the national anthem, heads or tails for the coin toss. And then the other fun thing we do to get everybody, even the non-football fans involved, is before every commercial break, everybody throws in, you know, $1 or $5. We'll just make a running pot, and they say who they think the next commercial is going to be by. And so, you know, if it's the three of us, one of us might say Anheuser-Busch, one of us might say Volkswagen, one of us might say, you know, a movie trailer. We all throw our money in the pot, and whichever one of those commercials comes up first, that person takes the pot, and then it all starts over again. So it's another great way to kill some time waiting for the football game to resume.
Yeah, I actually have a prop bet that's coming up now. It's over under if Carolina loses, when's the first time we hear from Jimmy in the Slack group? I have Tuesday at 2 p.m. being the over under.
I'm going to take the under. I think he'll be inebriated enough to just show up and start ranting.
Yeah, Jimmy, I wish you well. Winning a Super Bowl is awesome. I mean, it's happened twice, and it's great. We don't have a Denver fan, so at least one of the super fans should feel joy at the end of this terrible, terrible season.
kind of hope so. I don't know if I'm being paranoid, but as this game gets closer, it just seems more and more thick that the NFL is trying to get Peyton Manning to go out on top. I don't know if you're getting that feeling, but, like, I don't know. Every analyst is talking, oh, I'd just love to see Peyton Manning go on top. We'd like to see him go on top. And I don't know. It just seems a little eerie as the game gets closer.
It does feel eerie.
I didn't know we were joined by either Todd Vader or Patrick. All of a sudden, hearing conspiracy theories on how his team's going to lose the Super Bowl to Peyton Manning.
Isn't it amazing that, like, honestly, I don't think Peyton Manning can throw the ball 40 yards downfield on target anymore, and he's playing the Super Bowl against probably the quarterback with the best arm in the league. It's really interesting to, like, how that happened. I mean, it's all that Denver defense, but it's fun to see.
Well, I'm sure coming up this week on the Next Fan Up podcast, you know, our whole Super Bowl preview, we're going to be talking about that as well as breaking down the rest of the game from more than just a prop bet standpoint. Guys, any last remarks before we close out the show?
Good luck. Good luck. You know, it's not over till it's over. And Ted Ginn dropping a pass is at -120, so it's a good bet. Last one, I'll give out there to our fans.
Yeah, that's a solid bet. I'd take a drop all day.
Yeah.
To everyone watching the Super Bowl, be safe out there. Don't do anything crazy. Call on Monday. I already have Monday off, so I'm gonna be going hard night on Sunday. But don't do anything crazy Sunday night. Big night. Be safe.
All right, Jimmy, Sam, thank you guys very much for joining in tonight. If you guys have any opinions, feel free to tweet at us at NFUPodcast or shoot us a line, nextfanup@gmail.com. We have lots of super fan openings in case you want to plead your case for joining us and being able to get in on this fun on a week-to-week basis. And with that, we're going to let Jeff Fisher close us out.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.